Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I'm on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship is conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters, both new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The Soulful Hunter Podcast is also proudly presented by T&K Hunting Gear. If you haven't heard about T&K, then it's about time you do. I've been using T&K gear out in the field and on hunts and have fallen in love with their stuff. T&K is veteran-owned and 100% made in America using only American-made products. All their gear is covered under a lifetime warranty with no questions asked. If it breaks or fails, they will fix it or replace it for free. T&K is your resource for bino harnesses, bow slings, and a lot more amazing gear. For more information about T&K hunting gear, go to tnkhunting.com or search for them on Facebook and Instagram. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Freedom on and stay soulful. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I am joined today by just an absolute inspiration and someone who I developed just an immense amount of respect for, and just, I'm like at a loss for words, Polly, because you're just that epic. When I met the mountain goat himself, Paul Servi, in Salt Lake City in person, it was like instant best friends. I saw him. We've chatted a lot. He's contributed to the This Is How I Hunt series on the Washington Backcountry website. And just being an absolute stud of a person, quality human being, a patriot, just someone who loves hunting, loves to share it with others. And so I was like, dude, we recorded a podcast back at the Hunt Expo in Salt Lake City back in February, but the audio just didn't turn out that well, which is a bummer because it was a bombshell of a podcast. And so we're gonna do our best to try to replay what we talked about as well as add in a bunch of new stuff. So, Polly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me on. And I appreciate that introduction. Wow, I'm super honored. And dude, you're a great person. And I think we've talked, we're each other's people, and you meet your people out there, and dude, you're my people. And so.
Dude, totally agree. The recognition of one soul in another, you know, just you walk in and you find your tribe. You're like, okay, I'm home. I'm in a safe place. I'm in a welcoming place, a non-judgmental space. You know, everything, it just lines up. I'm in a place where, you know, I'm a believer of iron sharpens iron, so the countenance of one friend to another. And you are that. And I just, everyone needs to know who the mountain goat is. So let's let this shine. First off, Polly, tell everyone who you are, where you're from, and then we're going to talk about how you got the nickname the mountain goat.
Okay. Sounds good. I live in Utah. I've lived here my whole life. Kind of a little bit of background. I started hunting when I was super young. My dad would take all of us boys. So I've just kind of grown up in the hunting industry that part, you know, that way, and just had a great father figure to teach us boys how to be hunters and conservationists and be respectful to, you know, what we're doing out there. And, so that's kind of where I'm from and how I kind of got started. And as far as the name Mountain Goat Polly, my wife, she's the one who came up with that name. She'd always call me the Mountain Goat because when we were hunting together. So my wife didn't hunt until she met me. And then, you know, I started taking her out and hiking her little butt off. And she'd always be like, geez. Another hill, like you're just like a mountain goat. You never quit. And I'm like, well, you know how every hunter is. We got to get to that next hill. We got to get to that next ridge.
Right. You know? The unknown. You're like, well, what yes. could be over there?
So, you know, she'd always call me that. But, it, you know, and I think it was back in 2013 is when I started my Instagram page. And I think it was like middle of June or something. And 2013, and her and my daughter were on social media, and or no, they were playing on their phones, and I just kind of asked them, you know, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, we're on Instagram. And I'm like, well, what's Instagram? And they're like, oh, it's a new, you know, social media platform. And they're like, you got to start one. And I'm like, no, I don't need to start any more social media. I'd already cut back on my Facebook and kind of, you know, kind of gone through and deleted a bunch of people and kind of slimmed down to basically family. And they're like, no, it's cool. You just post pictures up, you know, it's really easy and it's way different than Facebook. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, what should my name be? You know, what should I use for a username? And my wife's like, you should just do Mountain Goat Polly. And I'm like, there you go.
And the legend of the mountain goat was created right there.
I don't know about a legend, but
oh man, I love it. So for all you listeners out there, you're trying to figure out like, where does the name Mountain Goat Polly sound familiar? Paul Servi. If you ever watch Skullbound TV on Sportsman Channel or potentially Carbon TV, specifically on Carbon TV, you had an episode where you went with Jana Waller for spring bear hunting up in Montana. That was a killer episode, man.
Yeah, I've had it. So what are you referring to, the episode last year or this year's episode?
I'm referring specifically to this year's episode where you forgot your gummy bears or gummy worms. But, you know, so
yeah, but that's why I missed too.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah, that was, I was just like, what the heck just happened? Like, but it happens, is, you know, if we hit every animal we shot at, there probably wouldn't be a lot of animals. So
dude, I hear
what happens. And yeah,
I ended up missing on a bear this year at 130 yards. And I had no, like, I shot and I was like, dude, sweet, I just got a bear. Ended up going, saw no blood, nothing. Replayed the video. The video looks like I hit it. And the next day, I saw that bear just out eating huckleberries on a mountainside. I was like, oh. Okay, apparently I did not shoot him. I always
refer to a miss, you know, if you miss, a clean miss is better than, you know, than a hit and a wounded animal running around the animal around the mountain, because there's no fun chasing and trying to track an animal and then, you know, knowing the animal is possibly suffering as well. So
yeah,
I'm all about that clean miss. If you miss, pray it's a clean miss and regroup and
and go from there.
And go from there, yeah.
All right, so you've had some experiences this year already, and one specific experience that you had, it stood out to me quite a bit, and I actually just returned back from a mule deer hunt from this weekend, and I also experienced not a similar situation, but a situation that is very common on public ground when you're hunting here in the United States, where you never know when or how someone else is going to show up in your career. So talk about your mule deer hunt and kind of how everything played out, and you don't have to get into details, Paulie, because I understand that there was some heat going on, but at the same time, tell the listeners, because I want, one of the things that being an advocate for public lands and being an advocate for hunting and me specifically being an advocate for recruiting new hunters and mentoring hunters, it is so much fun and exciting to get hunters involved. But it can be so absolutely disheartening when you have a plan and you go out to execute your plan, and then in the middle of that, you have other hunters show up, either blow your hunt, kill your plans, or you're having to figure out that etiquette of like what is appropriate and what is highly looked upon. So tell the listeners a little bit about your hunt that you had this fall, and we'll dive into that.
Public land, we all know. I mean, it's public land, and there's only so much of it in every state we hunt. And, you know, sometimes you show up and there's a lot of people, you know what I mean? And especially with this whole COVID thing, I think more and more people are up on the mountain this year. I've seen more people than ever But, and that's awesome. I mean, I think it's great that people are getting out and doing and trying to, you know, kill animals and sustain their, you know, to help sustain their living and help with fresh meat and organic meat and all that type of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, you have to share it with people out there, and you've got to be respectful, you know, to your fellow hunter as well. I mean, I'll start back at the muzzleloader hunt. I'm not going to try to put, you know, props on Deanna and I, but we had a couple bucks spotted. We've been watching, seen this buck during the summer. And he kind of disappeared, relocated him a couple days before the muzzleloader deer hunt started here in Utah, and watched him the morning before the muzzleloader deer hunt opened. And our plan was to go in there and let Deanne shoot him. And the night before the opener, I got back up on that ridge and I was glassing, and there was a couple guys out on the point that we wanted to be on opening morning. And I was like, oh, you know, your heart just kind of sinks. And yep. She's back at camp. And I kind of watched these two guys until dark, and they kind of went up the ridge and into the trees. And I didn't quite see where they went. I went back to camp, and Deanne's like, you know, did you see him? And I'm like, no. I go, I kind of got some bad news. And she's like, what? I go, there was a couple guys out there. And she's like, what? And I'm just like, I know, babes, you know.
Yeah.
I go, let's just get up a few minutes earlier in the morning. And, you know, if they're planning on going out there, maybe we can try and get out there before they do, you know, we'll have our headlamps on and that type of thing. So we get up, we head out, and we start heading up the ridge, and we get to where we're going to cut across. Well, those guys had camped right on the ridge above, you know, right where I seen them go into the trees that night and lost them. And both our hearts sunk, and you know, and you think, well, we could still get out over there. And but both of us were just like, you know what? They're there, you know,
right.
You know, let's go to plan B. And we went to plan B, and I feel like, you know, we were blessed because, you know, we didn't get a buck that day, and we didn't see a lot of deer that day. But, you know, on day two, Deanne got an opportunity, and she was able to, connect and get a good public land buck with a muzzleloader, her first muzzleloader buck. So I think it's those type of things, you know, you need to be respectful. And, I had an instance in Idaho just a couple weeks ago, you know, I get to my spot and I'm set up, and this guy comes by, and I feel like he knew I was there. And he went up on the other ridge, and at light, he's over there and I'm over here. You know, we're separated by 300-400 yards. And about an hour into the hunt, I hear something above me, and there's a guy like sitting right above me on a set of rocks within 20 yards. I mean, I could have probably thrown a rock at him and hit him. And he like looks at me through his binoculars, and I'm like, so he sees me, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, he's not going to sit there for too long. And you know, 5 minutes goes on, 10 minutes goes on, and he's glassing both sides of this mountain where I'm watching. And I'm thinking, what's going to happen if a deer comes out? Like, is he going to shoot over me, or, you know, how's this going to go down? And I understand it's public ground, and I probably 15 minutes of him being above me, I just turned around and I was just like, so what's your plan? Like, and I wasn't being quiet by any means. And I go, are you just going to shoot over me if something comes out? He go, and you know, his response was, well, I didn't see you. You don't have orange on. And I'm in the state of Idaho where you don't, you know, orange isn't required. And I go, well, you saw me when you walked over here and you glassed me through your binoculars. So, you know, I've been here now, and I've been here all morning long. And his response was that he kept using the orange, and it's fine. And he did end up leaving. And, but I just feel like, you know, public ground, you know, we just all need to be respectful and, you know, give each other that space. Don't crowd over people, you know. I know it can be hard at times, And we all get excited, you know, we see deer and, you know, but if there's somebody there, I just, you know, you just really need to be respectful to that person and, you know, let them have that spot. If you get beat, you get beat. If you get there first, awesome, you know, and we have to share it.
Yeah.
Each other.
Yeah. Jumping in on this, I feel like, you know, I had a conversation with Mark Huelsing and Steve Speck on the Hunt Backcountry podcast. And and Steve was saying about how, you know, when he hunts, he doesn't want to see anyone. And the whole the podcast was centered around mentorship as conservation and getting people involved and all that. And, you know, being a former athlete and a coach and all this, you know that competition breeds success. The competition is going to sharpen you in your skills, in your preparation, in whatever it may be. And yeah, you're right. Hunters, we don't want to be crowded. We go to the wild to get away, not to be surrounded. And it's really like, it's a catch 22 because we want more hunters. And like you were saying earlier, and I would totally agree. I think this, the best thing to ever happen to hunting has been the coronavirus outbreak. I think that more people have had time to sit at home, think about things. Hunter's education has been put virtually so that you can complete it. My wife just passed her hunter safety course, so she's now is going to be getting involved, because there's no way a mother of three and someone who works full time was going to be taking a Saturday to go sit in some class, you know, and especially by herself, because I couldn't do it with her unless we paid for childcare and, you know, all this stuff. So I really think the coronavirus has been causing so many more people to get involved in hunting. Number one, there was like the meat shortage or whatever. So now it's like, okay, well, I got to learn how to get meat for myself and my family. And then there's the, I've got to get out of my house. So what do I want to do? Then there's the people that are buying more weapons because they, you know, because of that whole movement. But then it's like, oh, I have a gun. Well, maybe I should go shoot. What do I shoot? Well, why not go hunting? Like, there's all sorts of stuff. This weekend, I also experienced a situation. I had took out a brand new hunter, and our day one play, we knew that we were going to be going into a location where we might see people, but the mountain was so huge that no one was going to be within shooting distance of where we were hunting in the drainages and the draws, even though you could glass people like way up on the mountains and all that. And so day one of hunting was phenomenal. Was great. We saw some bighorn sheep, saw a lot of deer. I almost shot a coyote, which
awesome.
Which it doesn't matter what type of hunt I'm on. I see a coyote or a grouse, it's game on. And we got our new hunter on a shooter buck, and it just didn't come together. That was day one. Day two, we knew that we wanted to go to a different location, so we made sure we were up early. We were ready to rock and roll. We split up into two teams. One team went off on this other drainage that ended up meeting at the bottom. It was kind of a drop hunt where, you know, one car's up top, one car's at the bottom, and then we'll drive each other back up. Well, you know, we're in a location that the minute you shut your door, you're hunting. So, you know, we're waiting for first light before we start moving away from the car, because you never know what you're going to jump. So we get to the spot, and my buddy and I, Tony, we're like, okay, let's glass this for a little bit before we just start progressing through our hunt. We're going to work these drainages all the way down the bottom. It's going to be just a phenomenal hunt. Out of nowhere, we see three hunters in orange cut across us at 50 yards, probably 50 to... I don't know, maybe 50 to 100 yards. They were working like at an angle, and I was like, well, doggone it. They literally, and I'll tell you this, we got up early. We had a truck pass us after we were already ready to rock and roll. So I'm not sure where these guys came from. And I don't know, like, if you were to hunt the drainage, I don't know why they parked where they did based off of where you would want to start. So either they parked in a different location and tried to beat feet and cut us off, or they just have a different view of how you would hunt the area. It was weird. But regardless, I'm like, oh, okay, well, we have a new hunter. It's our responsibility to teach our hunter etiquette and just kind of common courtesy and how to do things. Well, so we're like, okay, well, let's back out. And these hunters, they already jump deer. We were already watching deer run away from them as they are progressing through. And I was like, okay, I see how it is. I don't know if they really knew what they were doing or whatnot, but it was frustrating. And so I'm like, okay, let's back out. Let's circle around and go down the other drainage where our buddies were, and we'll at least catch up with them, and then we can split up from there. Well, as we back out, and it takes quite a ways and a lot of time to get to where we were going, these dudes were side-hilling these draws, and it was blowing. Every single time that we tried to get to a ridge, they were right there. And we go further, and then they end up coming. And I'm like, oh. It was horrible. And at the same time, taught me a lesson of like, and this is a lesson I already knew, but you gotta go out into the field with a couple plans. You can't put all your eggs into one basket and expect that it's going to turn out the way you want it. So needless to say, our hunt that day, it was smoked. It was pretty much worthless. We saw some deer, but that was it, and it was a big disappointment. So lesson learned, go out into the field, expect competition, be prepared with backup plans, and always, always understand that if you want to not see people, you gotta go to places that the average person does not want to go.
Yep. And you'll still see, and there's still people out there like you and I that are still, that still will get way back in there too. And you're like, where the heck did these people come from? Like, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, totally.
So
it's an interesting situation. I actually had I did a hunt with Tony. We were planning on getting up to this ridge line, and there was just a monster buck up there that we were waiting to see. And there was up on the top of this ridge, just this monster buck. But the way we planned on going all the way up it, the mountain beat us and it was just too difficult. There was another way to get in, but it was like way longer and you had to dedicate a lot of time to get in there. Well, on our way back down the mountain, the next morning, because we were like, okay, we're kind of halfway in a hard place. Either we got to sacrifice a day to get into where we're going, or we can just continue on a little further. That morning when we were packing to go deeper in, 5 minutes after shooting light, bam, from up the hill or up the mountain, exactly where we were planning on going anyways. And I was like, okay, well, there you go. So even if we would have made it there, there was someone else on that ridge line that we would have been competing with. And that was not an easy place to get to. So, you know, lesson learned, life goes on, but time spent in the field is never wasted. And at the same time is valuable. And so make sure you have some backup plans when you go hunting.
Yes. And on a positive note, yesterday, my brother and I are up hunting and we're watching this area, and we see two hunters coming up the draw, and they hadn't seen us yet. And they were kind of just standing down the ridge a little bit, and we were kind of watching them, and they came up and they seen us, you know, hunting there, and they smiled and waved, and on the way they went, you know, they did. So, I mean, that was great etiquette, you know. They respected that we were there and watching this canyon, and they went somewhere else.
Yep.
And so that was a positive experience. And to shed some more light on the Idaho experience, I think that you'll like this. But so, you know, I turn around and I'm kind of a little upset because I'm like, you know, like anybody else would be, I feel. You know, you got somebody right over the top of you. And if they, you know, I don't know how they're going to shoot. But anyways, he leaves and I call my wife and I'm just like, hey, this is what's going on. There's like people everywhere. It's the Saturday in Idaho opener and hadn't seen this many people ever on the opener. And I was just like, you know, and I had other people that I'd seen on different ridges and stuff too. And not that they were competing with me, they were far enough away that, you know, it wasn't bothering me, but there was just people out and about, you know. And she's like, good luck. Well, you can come home early, you know, and take me out on a date type of thing. And and I'm just like, hey, just give me an hour. It's like 9 o'clock. And I'm like, I'm going to sit here till 10. And she's like, okay. So we hang up and she immediately texts me and she's just like, good luck. I love you. You know, find peace, because it's rare in this world right now, you know. And she sent me some emoji hearts and smiley faces and prayers. And I read that text like 2 or 3 different times while I was sitting there, you know, within a few minutes of her sending that to me. And I'm just like, God, that is so true, you know, what she just said. And I kind of sat back and thought about the experience I had just had with this guy, you know, and maybe probably won't be blessed today, because I was kind of, you know, I got a little upset but I kind of sat there, I took everything in front of me, and I just kind of thought about how grateful and blessed I am and to be able to be up there to do it, you know, doing what I'm doing. And 10 o'clock rolls around and I'm like, oh, I'm going to head out. And I pack my stuff up and I'm literally 20 yards from the rocks I was sitting on, and I glanced down through this opening through the pines at 185 yards, and there's this solid buck looking right up at me, and I'm like, what? You know? And he's got me pegged. I'm not sure if he heard me coming across the shale rock or if he'd actually seen me. Pretty small window, he probably saw movement, but I don't know if he knew exactly what it was. And I'm on a really steep hill, and I'm trying to get a good shot on him, and I'm like, I don't got much time. He's not gonna sit there for very long, you know. And I hurry and throw my pack off and drop the bipod and get settled in and make a quick shot and get him. And but I don't know, I was blessed, and I think it was just meant to be. And but I just go back to that text my wife sent me, you know, that really, like I said before, I think you started recording today, you know, she's the one that keeps me grounded and keeps me positive. And, you know, so I've got a good partner in life too.
I love it. So let's unpack that a little bit, because I'm a huge fan of positive intentions, speaking things into existence, about purpose and energy flows, just the way the universe works. You know, you put out good into the universe, you get good back. You put
100%,
you know, and a huge believer in that. Now, you just said something, you're like, I don't know if I was going to be blessed on this hunt because of, you know, how things went with this other dude. But I also want to just encourage you that if you don't stand up for truth and justice, then, and which is a right thing to do, then maybe you wouldn't have been blessed, because if you wouldn't have said anything, you know, there's always a lesson to be learned through every experience.
That's almost exactly what my wife said. She goes, that's just the person you are. You stand up for what's right. You know, a lot of people wouldn't have stood up, you know. She goes, you stood up for what was right. And now that you say that, you know, maybe that was the lesson.
Yeah.
You know? And well, it was the lesson. That's what I believe.
Well, think about this. You're talking about finding peace, right? In mm-hmm. a world where it's rare. And so here you are just stewing. Don't let me put words in your mouth, but I'm imagining you're just stewing that this dude, you could hit him with a rock if you wanted to. He knows right. You're there. And right there, that is an instance of you being robbed of your peace. And so you took action, you spoke about it. And why, when you speak about things, it allows the human body to release it. And whether or not it instantly made you feel better or you felt bad about the words you chose or whatever, you no longer held on to the energy in which that negativity brought. And you released right. it into the world. And this may be a little woo-woo for people hearing this podcast, but think about your day-to-day life, the intentions. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, like the sky is always falling, or the cloud that never leaves, and wherever you go, it's just following you. Well, what are you putting out in the world? And then are things just a domino effect of like, you know, I lied here, I stole here, I cheated here, and then all of a sudden, oh, I got in a car accident, or I got a speeding ticket, or now I got a larger bill, or I don't know, just like this domino effect of negativity in life. And so it's like, what are you putting out there? And what do you want in return? I'm a huge believer in you have to identify what you want in life. So just like, so I teach archery. As a middle school PE teacher, I teach archery in my schools. And I always tell my students, I go, if there was not a target down here and you had a bow and arrow, you could shoot your arrow with, you know, you could release your arrow, but you'd never hit what you're aiming for because you don't know what your target is. And the thought of that is you need to have an intent, have purpose. Each day, yes, each moment, each hunt, whatever it is, ground yourself and know what you are trying to get out of each day, each moment, each hunt. And with that,
I agree 100%.
And with that, you start creating this momentum, because if we all believe, if we're sports fans, I know I being a sports guy, you believe in the big mo, right? When momentum's on your side, you got to run with it. Well, yep, momentum can also go against you. So are you creating the momentum or are you going against the momentum? And we need to identify this in our life each and every day. It's bigger than hunting. It's just the way we are, the way we show up in the world, the way we live.
I'm a complete believer. If you put negative out in the world, you're going to get negative back. You put positive out there and love, and you're going to get positive and love back. And you're going to have good things happen in your life. Not that bad things aren't going to happen, but if something happens in my life, I'm like, why'd that happen? Like, really? You know, I kind of look at the situation and learn from it, you know, because it's just how life is. But I think the more positive you are, the more happy you're going to be. You're going to get along with people, you know, just you're going to be a happy person. And if you're always negative and you're shedding a negative light, well, of course you're gonna draw negativity. You're gonna draw people that are negative into your circle. You know, I'm looking for the positive people that, you know, that bring me happiness and that help me grow as a person as well.
Yes. It is so crucial to surround yourself with people that are gonna build you up, not tear you down. Right.
Yes.
If we are I forget what they say, the sum of our closest people, we are the sum of the average of our closest friends and family, then who are you surrounding yourself with? Are you surrounding yourself with love, light, purpose, happiness, the fruits of the spirit, joy, patience, you know, all this, the list goes on. Or are you surrounding yourself with dishonesty, with cheating, with jealousy, judgment, rage? And you have to, and you don't have to. I can't believe I just said that. You get to make the conscious decision of how you want to live. So if you are surrounded by people that are not going to build you up and are not going to help sharpen you, then it's time to take a reality check, and inward reflection leads to outward correction. And you get to, you know, cut ties, move on, and grow as an individual, because life always happens for you. It doesn't happen to you.
Exactly. Nope, I believe that.
So here you are. You end up getting into it with this dude, or at least sharing your mind, at least. How much longer after you talked with him did you end up shooting that buck?
An hour. Yeah, it was probably almost exactly an hour, because I called Deanne right after, and I know it was like close to 9 o'clock in the morning, and I was just like, I'm going to stay here till, and that buck had to have been bedded right below us the whole time.
So what was the interaction like? Was it like shouting? Was it like whisper talking with emphasis
behind it? No, it was probably
it,
just
or...
like, it was plenty loud enough that any deer would in the area would hear you, you know, like it wasn't like, hey, dude, it was like, you know, where I was just kind of, I didn't like yell at the top of my lungs. It was just kind of like, hey, so what's your plan, you know?
Did the guy end up getting up and moving?
So after we talked, went back and forth a little bit, I just turned around because I was like, okay, I'm not going to engage anymore. He knows how I feel and we'll see what he does. And I heard a little bit of rustling behind me and I turned around a few minutes later and he was gone. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
And you know what? So this is a good learning experience. If you wouldn't have spoken up for yourself, if you would not have advocated for your own self, he would not have gotten the message. You cannot, this is like, you know, going back to the basics of my childhood of talking about assuming makes an ASS out of you and me, right? That's how you spell,
right.
That's how you spell assume.
Yeah.
But you can't assume that they see you and they can't assume that they're going to get the point or follow the unwritten rules or unspoken rules or the etiquette of hunting. It's like, if you wouldn't have spoke up, then who knows what would have happened.
And, you know, maybe I told my wife, I was like, you know, maybe it was a learning experience for him too. You know, maybe he learned that, hey, give people their space. Not, you know, especially if you walk up on somebody and you see somebody there, then just keep moving on. And that, you know, that's what I said too, was like, dude, we got this whole mountain of public ground and you got to be right on top of me.
Yeah, he could smell you. The wind was going uphill. He was totally catching the whiff of the goat.
I was super stinky too because I'd stayed in a motel the night before and showered and everything.
Oh, that's hilarious. So this conversation is making me think about like early on in my hunting career. I have two specific instances. One where I could have done the wrong thing. Hopefully I rectified it. And then the other one where I was treated like how you were treated. So the first one was I went up to this glassing knob where you could drive all the way up to it. And it's just a beautiful location. It looks down into this big bowl with the old burn and, you know, just prime mule deer habitat. But because it was a location which you could drive to, you know, people would come up, they'd see you, and then they'd be like, oh, man, okay. And they turn around. Either they get out and talk to you or just end up leaving. Well, this group of three dudes show up, and a lot of them weren't even wearing orange, or at least two of them weren't, but three of them had guns. And so in the state of Washington, you're required to wear orange if you're hunting. And so they end up sitting down right next to us and looking off the backside. And I'm like, okay, I'll give you that. We're not glassing that location. If you want to glass that, that's fine. We end up spotting a group of does, and you know, you see one deer, then you expect to see other deer within the location. And they end up coming and switching sides and sitting about 30 yards off to our right in the direction of which we would have shot if a buck was. We would have had to either shoot like right across their faces or not shoot because they were in our way. And I remember thinking, like, how do these guys think that what they're doing is, I'm going to use the word appropriate, but like highly looked upon, like they're in the right. And so it was just eating at me and eating at me. We ended up not seeing a buck. We got frustrated and I was like, you know what, let's move on. And so as I was walking by these guys, I was like, okay, if I really stand for hunter recruitment, hunter mentorship, then I need to share the value of etiquette. And so I walked up to these guys. I was like, hey, I just want to let you know that we did not appreciate you guys coming and jumping in the lane of where we were glassing. And we ended up seeing some deer, and we would have had to send a bullet right in front of your face if we would have seen a potential shooter and all that. And they were like, hey, man, public land. We all can hunt here. And I was like, yeah, I totally get that. I was like, however, you also are not doing this in a manner that is highly looked upon. And he's like, well, this dude's never even shot an animal or deer before. We're just trying to get him his deer. You know, they were throwing every justification out there. And at the time, myself and my buddy Tony have not shot a deer ever in our lives. And I was
is that two shot Tony?
That's two shot. Two shot Tony. And these guys, they threw out this thing, excuse of like, well, this guy's never shot a deer. And I go, I've never shot a deer. And this guy's never shot a deer. So don't give me that crap that just because someone's never shot an animal doesn't give them the justification to crowd you or not be courteous when it comes to things. Just be kind, right?
Just exactly.
Just be kind
and ethical. If you pull up and there's somebody there, you know what? It happens. It's public ground, you know. And just, you know, there is. You can find another spot. And like we talked earlier, you know, have plan B or plan C. You know, it can happen. And it happened to Deanna and I this year. And you just have to, it's tough because, you know, it's like, oh, man, you know, but it is what it is. And could we have beat those guys over there? Could we have hurried and ran by their tent that morning and snuck down the ridge? Yeah, we probably could have, you know.
Yep.
But both of us were like, you know, let's don't crowd them. They're there. Let's them go hunt. We'll go to plan B,
yeah.
You know. And,
you know,
I don't know if they ended up killing one of those deer. I never seen him come out with a deer. So, you know, maybe he made it and he's alive and we'll get him next year or something, you know. But
see, this is why I wanted to have you on this podcast for multiple reasons. But one of the things is your humility, being humble and just being counting your blessings. You are a person that counts your blessings, and the way you show up in the world, it's obvious, and it's something to like highly, like we all can have role models and heroes and mentors. Seeing somebody who is humble is somebody who take note, people, and really like self-evaluate, because it's huge. It's something that I cherish. You know, there's so much stuff in this world where people like to get a big head, especially with social media, and they want to, you know, hey, look at this, or the one-uppers, the people that are like, oh, that's cool, but check this out.
Mm-hmm.
The people that live by the word but rather than the word and. And it just, yep. You know what I mean? That's cool, but check this out. Or that's cool.
Yep.
And look at this. So I had an experience. And by the way, listeners, don't ever think like, I'm not trying to say I'm perfect. Never. I've made mistakes. I currently make mistakes. I am trying to grow, but I'm at the same time trying to live the best life I possibly can. And so,
and me too. Every day is a learning experience, and you just have to take it one day at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So my story of where I did goof up at, and I want to share with the listeners and talk about this because it's very poignant. There was this time, and I think it might've been like the same year, because I don't have that many years of hunting stories built up yet, but I remember driving up. We got up super early. Our buddy who I was with, Wes, we were riding in his truck. His tire popped on the way to our destination, and so we had to change a flat tire. By the way, the trash man, Wes, record timing. You really dominated on that tire change. But we get to the top of the mountain, and there is a car there. And I'm like, and now I'm going to share my fault right here. I was like, oh, man, okay, well, they're not out of their car yet, so let's hurry up and put our gear on and go.
Right?
Yeah, just like total rookie move and completely selfish, right? Well, thankfully, the guys in the car got out of their car and walked up to us, and they were like, hey, what is your hunting plan? And I was like, well, we were actually planning on glassing over here. What are you guys going to do? And they're like, oh, we were actually going to go to this different area on the mountain and hike out. And I was like, I learned so much from that experience. I was like, okay, first off, don't be a dick. Be a kind person. Go communicate. It's okay to share areas, but communicate with people.
Exactly. And that's a really good...
Yeah.
You know, go talk to the other hunters and just see what their plan is. Maybe they're not even going to go where you were going
to
go.
Right. Like going back to that original story where I was trying to get rid of away from the hunters from this weekend. If I would have been in talking distance to them, I would have asked them what they were doing, because we could have continued on our plan after mm-hmm. seeing where they ended up going. At the same time, don't be afraid to talk to other hunters. more often than not, I will say that you're not going to get the truth if you ask him, hey, what type of, have you seen any deer or have you seen any animals? A lot of the times I've learned in my experiences that that hunters will not tell you the truth in that scenario. However,
nope, but not they, usually.
but they will be willing to communicate how or what they're doing for their hunt, and so that you can make your play off of that. So, you know, but once again, if you don't speak up and advocate for yourself, you'll never know, and then you'll always be left with these emotions, this energy, these feelings of disgust, frustration, that'll just eat you up inside and ruin it for that experience and the experiences to come.
Exactly. So, exactly.
So I want to switch.
And I will say,
go ahead. Yeah.
I will say really quick, I haven't had a lot of experiences with like those type of negative experiences on the mountains. So they're very far few between, but I think it is a good topic that we discuss, you know, just kind of, you know, think about other, your fellow hunter out there and respect them because they're out there doing it just like you are, you know, it's, you know, it, you know, they're out there grinding just like you. So
they're putting
props.
That's right. Hey, if they were in your hunting location, then at least they know somewhat what they're doing.
And, yep, and exactly.
You're like, okay, well, there you go. You got a
life. I've said that before. Hey, if that dude over there, if they kill one, awesome, because they're working their guts out and they're in there hunting hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. Totally. I want to switch gears here for a moment, and I okay. want to share something that I've been doing on social media lately, and I want to spread the word and get it out there, but I also want to include you on this because it's so special to my heart. On social media, I made a post that I would love to start seeing hunters or anytime people are going afield carry an American flag with them and take a picture with the hashtag Patriots in the Wild. I'm a big believer in being proud of where you come from and proud of where you are. And so I know that I've never been in the military, but I've wanted to. And here you are, being a hunter, someone who loves America, and you have a wife who serves in the military. She's a deputy, or is she a sheriff, or how does that work?
She's a local sheriff here in our town we live in, and then she's a Air Force Reserve Security Forces
and
in
she,
the Air Force.
She just spent how long was she away?
She was gone. She was supposed to be gone for 6 months, but with the whole COVID thing, it turned into a little over 8 months deployment overseas.
Here you are with a wife in the military fighting for our freedoms, our constitution, our way of life. She's a law enforcement officer back home. And we're in a world where people are just trying to destroy the system and fight against everything that, you know, America stands for, and people have their own lens on how they view things. So listeners, if you don't believe the way I believe, that's okay. I want you to understand that I do not hate you for that, or I do not despise you. It is healthy to have differing views and differing opinions and perspectives, but
yes,
at the same time to love people through it, not hate them through it.
Exactly.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to start bringing my patriotism for this country into the wild, and I'm always carrying an American flag with me on every hunt from now on. And
I'm gonna have to get me one.
So I'm gonna encourage you, Polly.
I've seen your post.
Because, dude, hunting is about having fun, right? We love what we
100%.
Do. Well, I love this country, and I want to show my American pride with everyone. Go buy yourself a dollar American flag, a tiny little one. It's not going to add that much weight to your backpack. Go take a picture of yourself in the mountains or whatever type of picture you want. If I'm doing a base camp, I'll bring two flags. One I'll stake in the ground at my camp, and then the other will be with me in the mountains. But I mean, dude, this is a very hot topic for me. I had a, there was a cartoon, like a political cartoon that I saw when I was in high school. So when I was in high school, my senior year was 9/11, when the Twin Towers got attacked and the Pentagon got attacked and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing this political cartoon where there was a class full of students and one student not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to preface this that, yes, you do have the right to do whatever it is that you want. I get that. But the political cartoon said, hey, Billy, I understand that you have the right not to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, but let me introduce you to somebody who lost that right protecting your freedoms. And it was a veteran with no legs sitting in a wheelchair.
Right.
And that one just like hit me so hard. And I'm a school teacher, and so I understand the politics and the world that we live in currently. But I'm about putting that positive energy and that positive love into this world, right?
Right.
What better way than to just carry your flag into the country and let it fly for all to see?
I'm with you 100%. I'm going to go get one.
I love it. What is it like having a wife? You know, usually you're in a role where husbands more often than not are the ones that go away. The wife stays home. Here you are with your wife gone. You're home. You both love to hunt. Like, do you ever feel like your scenario or you're just in an interesting role or perspective in your life?
I don't know. She's a badass for one.
Yeah.
Let's just put that out there.
Yes, she is.
It's hard as a man, you know, you're this is how I've, you know, as being the protector, I guess you would say, you know, you're the protector of your kids and your wife, and you want to be able to protect her. Well, when she's shipped away in the Middle East somewhere, you know, I can't protect her. And it's hard for me not being able to protect my wife. I think that was really hard for me. And, you know, and just not having my best friend around too, you know, that's really hard too. But as far as like, I don't know, I'm super proud of her. You know, she loves to serve and it's not easy. It's not easy. And I wish more people would understand that, you know, what this country was founded on, and it's because of people like, and men and women like her that are willing to protect our freedoms every day, you know?
Yep. Absolutely. Do you find that when you are home with her and you're both doing what you love, which is hunting, that it's even more special because of that?
Especially this year, yeah, actually special because it's like I want to spend almost every minute I can with her. I have this fear in me that, you know, she was gone for almost 9 months, and I'll put, you know, I'm kind of being vulnerable here, but I have this fear that like she's gonna have to leave again. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's like, and so I'm kind of needy now that she's back home. You know, I want to spend every minute I can with her. You know, and because she's my best friend, and you know, and so yeah.
I totally get that, and I want to give you some words of encouragement and not live with fear of her leaving, but be present in the moment in which you have. That it is so often not we think in the future, especially being hunters, we're always planning ahead and we're thinking about the
yep.
we're thinking about the future. That more often than not, that we forget about being present in our daily lives.
That is really good.
We forget
encouragement.
About, yeah, and thank you. I want you to hear that. I want the listeners to hear that. Like, stop. Get off your cell phone. Get off social media. Get off whatever it is that you think is important. Look at your wife in the eyes. Look at your children in the eyes. Go wrap your arms around them. Tell them vocally how special they are to you.
Yes.
And start creating the life that you want. because it doesn't start tomorrow. It doesn't start next week. It doesn't start next year. It starts right now.
Yep.
Right now in this present moment. And that is where I'm, when I talk about creating the life that you want, it starts with that.
Yep.
And
I agree.
Dude.
And we've had a lot of fun this year, her and I. We've had a lot of fun times in the mountains this year. I mean, it's been a great month. We've had a lot of good hunting the last month, so.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm a firm believer in you can't outgive good, right? So here she is
right.
Being someone who is giving nonstop for the protection and safety of others and this nation. She comes home. You guys are together. You just go out on a killer hunt in what state was that? Was that Colorado?
Colorado. You know, it was amazing.
And
it was awesome.
She draws a muzzleloader tag?
No. So this was a really neat hunt for her. So his name's Alex Nestor. If you don't follow him, it's Hunt Nest on Instagram. And he leases property there in eastern Colorado. And it was crazy. I think it was just... it's just how things are supposed to happen. You know, he was inspired to contact me, and he literally contacts me the day that I pick Deanna up from the airport from her deployment. And he invites her out to come hunt this fall on a muzzleloader hunt.
Wow.
And, what a great gesture, you know, by him. It was an amazing hunt. It was something we've never hunted that way, but huge thanks to Alex, you know,
uh-huh.
It was awesome. And he reached out the day that we were literally out back on our porch. You know, I just picked her up that day and I was barbecuing some stuff and he messaged me and was like, hey, I want to make this happen for your wife. And it was super special. So yeah, it was a special one for sure.
And that just speaks to hunters in general and the idea of conservation, where we are the people that truly care and we want to make sure that things are taken care of. And there are bad apples that ruin the bunch, but in the end, hunters have huge hearts.
Oh, yeah. I think we have huge hearts. I agree.
Yeah. So, dude, just tell the listeners real quick what happened on the hunt. You can see the video of it on your Instagram, which I was like, dang, that is so cool. killer pictures. But just real quick, take the listeners through it before we wrap this bad boy up.
Oh, man, it was awesome. It was actually, we were there a week ago today. But anyways, we were actually going after a different buck. And Alex, he's so good at hunting these cornfields we're going in on this buck, this other buck. We look in front of us and there's this buck standing there. Like, I think he was 130 yards and he hadn't seen us yet. He hadn't seen us. We seen him before he saw us, which was good because it's usually the other way around.
Right.
And we're like, oh, and he's like, that's a good buck. So we get in closer and he sneaks Deanna and I in within 60 yards of him and we get set up and I had the other camera and we were in a different row than Alex was in. And I think the deer was about four or five corn rows over feeding right towards us through the corn. And he grabbed Deanna and he's like, hey, come over here and get in front of me. Because he was afraid that if that buck came into the corn row he was in and looked down the corn row and saw him first, that he, you know, she might not be able to get a shot because you can only shoot down the corn rows. You know, those are your only openings. And so he moved her, but he pulled out his cell phone and it was intense. Like, you could hear the buck crunching through the corn and you can't see him because the corn's so tall, but you can hear him crunching. And Alex was calling it out. He's like, he's three rows over. He's two rows over, you know, and he's like, he's one row over. And I think it starts in the video right then. He's one row over and he steps into the corn row and he's like, don't shoot him in the neck. Wait till you can see his shoulder. And he comes into the corn row perfect, and Deanne's all set up waiting, and I think he's 57 yards and open sights, you know, with a, you know, old style night muzzleloader that I have. Can, you know, in Colorado they have different rules. You can't use the nice muzzleloader that I bought a few years ago, but it's cool. It's cool. It's a primitive hunt, and it makes it even more awesome and special, you know. And but he steps into the corn row, and Alex is just like, shoot him, you know, when he showed his shoulder, and she just boom, and you can just hear it hit him, whack, and he jumps in the air and he runs about 20 yards and
yeah,
it was awesome.
Epic. I love it.
But yeah, you can go watch that video on, I think, both of our pages, and even Alex's page, you know, either Mountain Goat Polly or my wife's page, or Alex's page at Hunt Nest. So it's a pretty cool little 20-second video of the kill shot. It's pretty awesome.
Dude, that is so cool. So cool. Yeah.
So she's been so lucky this year. You know, she'd never killed a deer with a muzzleloader. And then she got her first muzzleloader buck here in Utah like three and a half weeks ago. And then she goes to Colorado and kills a nice buck with a muzzleloader. So
I think
she's got both her deer this year with a muzzleloader.
I think she found her weapon.
she thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, she thinks muzzleloader's pretty cool.
I love it. All right, so listeners, make sure that you go check out Mountain Goat Polly on Instagram. You're on Facebook also under Mountain Goat Polly?
Yeah, I have a Facebook page on Facebook. It's Mountain Goat Polly, and then just regular Paul Servey. You know, I post. I'm not quite as diligent on Facebook, but my main platform is Instagram.
I love it.
So, yeah.
Also, check out his interview he did with us for This Is How I Hunt series on Washington Backcountry's website. You can go to wabackcountry.com or soulfulhunter.com, and then go to the tabs for articles and the This Is How I Hunt series, and then find Paulie, because he did a really nice one. Listeners, be encouraged. Be of good cheer. Be in good spirits, because life is good. Hunting is awesome. Everything is going to work out exactly how it's supposed to. Don't get caught up in the fear that is permeating life, that is being pushed out there. Take a breath, ground yourself, center yourself, and cherish the moments and the ones that you love in your life, and really invest into what you want, because remember, you can't outgive good, and that you're always going to get back in return what you put out into the world. So I
agree 100%. That was some really good words of encouragement, and so thank you. That was awesome.
My pleasure. Everyone, a couple things before we sign off this episode. Number one, go get yourself an American flag.
Get
yourself out in the wild. Take pictures
of
it.
Be a patriot.
Yes. Use the hashtag Patriots in the Wild. You can tag Soulful Hunter Podcast, tag Paulie, tag Washington Backcountry, whatever it is. And let's start sharing our love for this country on social media. Number two, and even if you're not on social media, listen to this podcast and still bring your flag out, because like we talked about in the etiquette section of this podcast, when you run into other people, it's okay to let your freedom shine and to share that with others. So, and then lastly,
right. 'Cause this is America, and that's the right we have. You know, we can speak our voices.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then last thing, go check out Mountain Goat Polly on social media. Give him a follow and let him know how awesome you thought this conversation was. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Remember, as we are in the heart of hunting season, it is not too late for you to encourage somebody to start their hunter safety, to start their trapper safety, to go out, take them hunting. Mentorship is conservation, and hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure. I'm Johnny Mack. Freedom on, everybody, and stay soulful. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag Soulful Hunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com and be sure to follow the podcast as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful.